Welcome back to The Tonic, your prescription for a healthier and happier life. Here's your host and publisher of Tonic Magazine, Jamie Bussin.
Emile Rehm is a creative nonfiction writer, an eccentric accountant, and an advocate for overcoming the odds. An Ismaili Muslim originally from Tanzania, he has faced and overcome daunting circumstances all his life, from being raised in foster care in England to immigrating to Canada as a young adult. He's the author of Heart of New York and Chasing Aphrodite, and has more books in the works. His mission is sharing his stories to instill hope and inspire people to choose action, resilience, hope, and determination for overcoming even the tallest of odds undaunted. Emile, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, our pleasure. So I share sort of a kind of a background with you. I'm not from Tanzania, but I used to be a professional. I was a lawyer for 20 years. And I know you're a professional, you're an accountant as well. I don't know if you charge by the hour, but lawyers do, which meant that every hour I would worry about whether or not I was doing enough billings. And it became this cycle where I was afraid of wasting time. But you're going to tell us why it's important to waste time. Why is that?
Well, one Sunday, I woke up at 5 in the morning, and I wanted to spend the whole day doing my accounting, so that I would be caught up on everything by the beginning of the week. My wife wakes up and she says, "Oh, hon, can you take me to the farm? I just want to buy some muffins." That farm is an hour and a half away, and I keep looking at my watch saying, "Oh, all right then." And then on the way, she wants to go for breakfast. On the way back, we come home, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My son wakes up and says, "Oh, Dad, I forgot to go to the university. Can you please take me back?" By the time I get home, it's 4 o'clock, and the whole day is wasted. Now, I'm sitting in the farm on the veranda. It's a gorgeous day, lots of fruit growing, and my wife has given me a homemade Saskatoon berry ice cream in one hand and fresh lemonade in the other. And I'm relaxing, and I'm feeling guilty. One, I'm feeling guilty that I'm sitting here and enjoying myself on a Sunday when I should, like you, build time, and I'm not doing it. The next thing is I look at my wife, who's so happy doing what she's doing, and I'm feeling guilty because I'm not thinking of her. I'm thinking of the work I've left behind. So that was the inspiration of writing about this.
Do you think your wife kind of intuitively knew you needed a break? Like, did she Shanghai you there and take you so that you wouldn't be sitting at the desk the whole day?
Absolutely. And I think that she does that quite often. But when you spend time with them, with my wife, for instance, we have an hour and a half drive to the farm. We talk about all kinds of things because we've got the time. What else we wouldn't do if we were sharing breakfast together, rushing, you know, having breakfast for 10 minutes and rushing off in our different ways. We wouldn't have that time together. And it's the same thing. Even though I got annoyed at my son for dragging me out to drive him to college. But you know what? I had special time with him.
Yeah. Without question.
And that's the difference. That's what you keep changing things. It's like a coin. On the one side, yes, it's work. And on the other side, look at the opportunities you miss when you tell people, "Oh, I'm busy, I don't have the time."
Let's talk more succinctly about why it's important to waste time. So what's your number one reason?
Well, the first one is that you connect with people, as I just mentioned.
Yeah. Yep. I've done that drive myself where I've taken the time to drive my son back to university, and that's our opportunity. It's almost like when you're sitting at the dinner table, like if you ask somebody questions, they may not respond, but if you're just kind of spending time with them, sometimes these issues sort of come up organically and magically when you're idling.
Absolutely. And you know, when you are talking with people, your family in particular, everybody is stressed about something. It's not just you stressed about your work. You know, my son would be stressed about his exams, and my wife would be stressed about her family. So having that much time together, an hour and a half instead of a 5-minute soundbite, you suddenly are able to start opening up. And that's really important. And then the other thing is live in the moment.
Yep.
Remember, I'm sitting there looking at the view. I'm eating my ice cream. I'm drinking my lemonade. And you know what? That memory is going to last me for the rest of my life. And sitting there doing somebody's work on an hourly rate really isn't. It's just going to be one thing that you're just trying to get rid of and move on. Now, in addition to that, there's also invest in self-care. You know, constantly chasing deadlines without any break in between you're going to just burn yourself out.
Yeah.
And you're going to create more stress for yourself.
You know, when I read about what you were talking about, I mean, these are all sort of decisions that I made organically when I stopped practicing law and started to get into health and wellness. But it's not a transition that everybody can make. I mean, I'm sure, you know, like you're an outlier, I'm an outlier for sort of making those types of changes. I guess the real key would be finding balance and you know, because we still have to earn a living, right? We still live in a capitalist society. We still have to bring home the bacon, as it were, right?
Well, you know, I have this quote, and it says, life is a prism. We shift the prism to reflect the colors that we wish to. And our lives are based on fear, the fear of not getting something done, of not achieving something. And the more we have that fear, the more we sit ourselves in a rut and follow a blinkered direction in a certain way. If you have that time to come out of that, even for an hour, half an hour, now suddenly you're breaking that cycle. You then look at all the opportunities around you that you can take, that can make a difference to your life and reduce that stress.
I know your next topic is all about creativity. I want to hear your perspective on it, and then I'll give you mine, okay? Go ahead.
I should have been a secondhand car salesman. I failed on my goal in England, and I wanted to work in a market, a farmer's market. My mom wouldn't allow me to, and she kind of forced me into accounting, whereas everything I'd done was creative. And I kept failing exams, kept failing exams. And it wasn't until about 10 or 15 years ago, a client needed some help, and I moved out of in saving taxes. I created a tax structure for him, and then I suddenly found I didn't have to book hours because it was based on whatever monies we saved him. And as a result of that, I reduced so much of my working time in doing that. Now, at the age of 60, I decided I was going to write a book, mainly because my two boys, my wife's Filipino, I'm from East Africa, both emigrated here. My kids had all been brought up in a very comfortable life in Canada. And the younger one kept asking me, where did we come from? What was our background? And so the stories began as that. But as we continued with those stories, they weren't just the life history. They became parables, short stories that were parables. And those parables were things like teaching life lessons to the kids, not just a matter of telling them where I came from. And I found that the more I wrote, the more creative I became.
For me, how shall I put this? It's the muses. Do you know what I mean? The muses,
yes.
The muses do not come to me if I'm preparing for this show. And they don't come to me when I'm recording the show. They come to me in the idle moments, right? My ideas for segments,
my
ideas for events, my ideas for my magazine. They come to me tangentially almost. Do you know what I mean? They almost float into your brain. And without the downtime, there's just no way that your brain can be receptive to that. Now, I'm a creative by living now, and I'm like you. I went into a profession whereas I should have been a creative from day one. There's just no question of that, because that's where I derive my joy, whether it's cooking or landscaping my backyard or starting a magazine or an event. I shouldn't have been a lawyer. I was a good lawyer, but I shouldn't have been a lawyer. But I think for everybody, we need that creative outlet. I just don't think people are fulfilled with their careers or in their retirement. I need to create.
I agree with you. You know, the two things I always tell my kids is go out and fail. And the second thing is go out and be bored. It's good for you. And they look at me like I'm crazy.
Let's talk about the last reason for wasting time. What is it?
That was gaining perspective, which is really part of that as well.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, you can't get perspective if you're in a horse race every minute of the day where you're trying to get away from the phone because you've got to get certain work done. Your mind is focused on that. It's when you get away from that, when your mind is somewhere completely different, looking at the view as I had of the farm, that your subconscious begins to work and comes up with creative ideas. And the reason why most people say, oh, well, we can't do what you do, you're just lucky to have got that, is because they've never taken that time. They have really forced themselves into a particular prison or environment. They keep telling themselves there's no way out of it or there's no change in what we've got. And then they force themselves into that. So, yes, having time away from work gives you that perspective. And you don't change things completely. You change them bit by bit by bit. And eventually the whole situation turns around. Everything you do in life should be a stepping stone. And people don't see it that way. It's almost like they want security. They want to do the same thing over and over again and complain about it. And yet they find that secure, their fear of any changes. And look at what you did with your life.
I hear you. I'm the poster boy. Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing.
Well, you're more than welcome, and thank you for having me on.
Thanks to all my wonderful guests, Dr. Gordon Chang, Shauna Lindzen, Dr. Joseph Alton, and Emil Rem. And thank you all for listening to The Tonic. You can listen or download this episode as a podcast with full show notes, contact information for our guests, and links at thetonic.ca. To find out more about the show, you can always follow us at It's The Tonic on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. For great articles by amazing health and wellness writers, be sure to pick up your copy of The Tonic magazine. The July-August issue is now available free on racks at over 100 locations across the GTA and delivered with the Globe and Mail to home subscribers in Toronto west of Victoria Park. Or you can visit our website, thetonic.ca. If you're interested in providing feedback or suggesting topics for the show, you can always email me at jamie@thetonic.ca. On our next show, we'll discuss the health and wellness issues that are important to you. Until then, this is Jamie Bussin wishing you a healthy and happy week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.